How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
We have rocks that are far, far, far older than you claim the Earth is.
All such dating methods are fallible, and I claim there's only one infallible dating method. It's a witness who was there, who knows everything, who told us, and that's from the Word of God.
For lack of a better word, it's magical, and I have appreciated magic since I was a kid, but it's not really what we want in conventional mainstream science.
There's a difference between what you actually observe directly and then your interpretation in regard to the past.
Please, you don't want to raise a generation of science students who don't understand how we know our place in the cosmos, our place in space, who don't understand natural law.
They're imposing their ideology on the students, that everything's explained by natural processes. That is a religion.
Excerpts from last week's debate between evolutionist Bill Nye and creationist Ken Ham. Now, it caused a lot of fervor before it even occurred, and then after it occurred, some curious responses. Scientists say that Bill Nye didn't avail himself of the opportunity, never should have given a creationist the time of day. It only made it sound like it was a viable way of viewing the origins of the universe. And then Christians, on the other hand, well, a lot of Christians prove themselves rather embarrassed by someone who said he believes in God's word, that God created the world in 6 days. They found that very embarrassing. Others were simply kind of jumping on the bandwagon, saying, well, you know, I don't know, we at least got to state our points. And in the end, we were at an impasse, a debate where two different worldviews were really on display to be seen. Joining us to talk about last week's debate between evolutionist Bill Nye and creationist Ken Ham, Charles St. Ange. He's a regular guest. He's deployed with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Asia. He has a bachelor's degree of applied science and engineering, a master's of science degree, and he's doing doctoral work on science and theology with South Africa Theological Seminary. He's author of the book Five Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. Charles, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
The debate was widely viewed. Would you recommend, as both a theologian and a scientist, that someone watch this debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham to learn more about either evolution or creation?
I would highly recommend it. I watched the entire debate live, and I watched it with my wife, who's sort of an amateur when it comes to science and theology, and the word amateur means love. She loves both and wants to know more. And from those two perspectives, I mean, both of us really appreciated that it was a classic debate in the sense that it was a classic presentation by two really great communicators of the two different points of view, in a very friendly way, in a very passionate way, but in a way that I think would give the average person who's maybe never been introduced to the debate or has only ever heard one side a very good perspective on the other side.
When you say the two different points of view, what were the two different points of view being presented there by these two men?
Well, that's a really good question, because when it comes to the debate over life's origin, there are a variety of different points of view. There's all sorts of different nuances. So, for example, Stephen Meyer, who works with the Discovery Institute, is a proponent of intelligent design, also believes in a very old age for the universe. So he was on Facebook sort of lamenting the fact that there wasn't going to be this nuance of different positions. Having said that, I was, you know, reading some of Richard Dawkins' work the other week, and he points out very persuasively that in his opinion there are really only two views of life's origin, and that is some variation on neo-Darwinism, natural selection, and some form of special creation by a creator or deity. And so from that point of view, you have Ken Ham, who is, I think, presenting a very strong creation point of view and an idea that creator God has spoken to us through the scriptures in a very special revelation. And on the other hand, Bill Nye representing the point of view that says, look, if you want to be religious and that gives you comfort in this life, that's fine. But science, can explain why there is life, why there's a universe, why everything exists without ever having to have recourse to a creator. So if you really wanted to get sort of a quick overview, well, quick in 2 hours, I think you need that time to give a quick overview of those two ideas. One, a special creation by a creating intelligence, and on the other hand, everything sort of coming into existence by itself. You could do much worse than watching just 2 hours of these two speakers.
Are they two different worldviews? And what I mean by that is, does it go beyond just the question of origins or of the progress of life? Is there more in these views than one may have seen even in this debate?
Absolutely, and I think that really came through in the debate. This idea that there are this is a debate between two worldviews and two philosophies, two outlooks on the world, and not really a debate between science on one side and religion on another. This was a scientific debate, and the debate centered around your starting point. When you start to investigate something, you have to have some idea of what you expect to find. And for Ken Ham and biblical Christians, we use Genesis and also the rest of Scripture, including the New Testament, as our starting point, that they give hints of what we should expect to find when we study the world. For Bill Nye, what he expects to find is no sign of a creating intelligence and an explanation for how everything came to be that is completely natural as much as possible. There are certain things, of course, that even people that want to find natural explanations for things have to assume. Ken Ham points that out in the debate. Where do the laws of nature come from? Where do the laws of logic come from? But really, what was on display in this presentation was the clash of two worldviews. Because unless you start your investigation with some idea of what you expect to find, you don't know where to go. So the idea that somehow science just blindly looked at the world and said, well, let's just examine the world and see what we can find out about the origin of life and the origin of the universe, nobody does that. You have to start from somewhere. And Bill Nye starts from the perspective that everything just happened, basically by accident. And Ken Ham starts from the perspective that the God who created all things has revealed himself to us in his word.
In that sense, was, at least from the narrow confines of the debate between these two men, was Ken Ham really more forthright in saying, look, this is what I expect to find because I start a priori with the Word of God, as opposed to, and I don't think he was intentionally being deceptive, quite unintentionally, Bill Nye saying, I just look at the evidence. I have no expectations or a priori assumptions going in.
Absolutely. And Ken Ham tried Bill on that point, that at the end of the day, Ken Ham and Christian creationists are much more honest about their starting point. People who accept sort of an evolutionary view of both the universe and of life don't often stop to question the assumptions that they've assumed. they've already sort of imbibed a worldview, but they've never critically examined it, and that's a really dangerous thing for a scientist. We would be really nervous if we knew that a police officer always, when they were investigating crime, looked for short people and assumed that short people were the ones who commit more crimes than other people. We would point that out and say that just doesn't seem right, that you're always looking for short people. But if that police officer never questioned that and just says, well, everybody knows that short people commit crimes, they would always kind of find themselves headed in the wrong direction on a lot of investigations. And that's what's happening in the scientific community, too. It's just a lot of people that are looking for things. They've made an assumption, but they've never questioned that assumption. And hopefully this debate opened up some people's mind to at least asking themselves, what assumptions am I making when I'm investigating the world?
What about this? Did, in your evaluation of the debate between these two men, did they understand the other person's position sufficiently? That's key in my mind, but did they?
Well, again, being aware that I have my own biases, where and I have to freely admit that I'm always looking at things in this point in my intellectual and faith life from a certain perspective. Having said that, it does appear to me that Ken had maybe a little bit better grasp on where Bill Nye was coming from than Bill did of Ken. I had a sister-in-law who was at the debate, and kind of her first comment after the debate was, you know, that was a really great debate. It was a great presentation. But secondly, Bill did seem awfully condescending. Condescension often happens when you're pretty convinced that you know where someone's coming from, but you don't. And so, for example, Bill brought up multiple times this idea that, well, you're basing your understanding on Genesis on an English translation of a translation of a translation, implying that there's been this you know, long, long telephone game that's been played, and who knows what the original Genesis 1 actually says. Well, you'd ask any competent biblical scholar, they can tell you that our understanding of Genesis isn't based on the English translation, it's based on the best Hebrew text that we have. And secondly, the Dead Sea Scrolls have given us all sorts of copies of these texts, and they're exactly the Hebrew manuscript, the most recent ones that we have. So it's really disingenuous to be saying, well, you're this guy who's just come up with this really unique interpretation based on an English translation, when in fact Ken and those of us who hold his point of view, or he holds our point of view, or all of us hold the biblical point of view, which I think is far more accurate to say, we know that we're basing things on the original text. We've studied this and are not simply making this up out of whole cloth.
We're talking with Charles St. Ange about last week's debate between evolutionist Bill Nye and creationist Ken Ham, getting a little not only a review of the debate, but also maybe more in-depth into what people see, what their perception is. When we come back, would someone having watched this debate between an evolutionist and between a creationist come away thinking that the creationist, Ken Ham, was anti-science? We'll answer that question right after this. Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at issuesetc.org.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around His means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Where do we find Jesus in the book of Job? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Job in 4 Not-So-Easy Steps. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ross Johnson has written our Wittenberg Trail feature. It's titled Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about last week's debate between evolutionist Bill Nye and creationist Ken Ham. Charles St. Ange is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree of applied science and engineering, a master's of science degree. He's doing doctoral work on science and theology with South African Theological Seminary, and he's author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. Coming away from this debate, Charles, do you think that the average person would have come away thinking that Ken Ham, the creationist, was anti-science?
I certainly hope not. I think Ken did his very best to try and present what he thinks he is doing, which is promoting science based on a different starting point than the rest of the scientific community that has imbibed without critically thinking about this naturalistic point of view the way that they do. And he did that by trying to provide little video vignettes from different scientists from around the world who espouse the traditional Christian interpretation of Genesis 1. And I think he had to do that, and I think he did a really good job doing that. As much as Bill Nye doesn't like the distinction between historical and operational science, I just don't see how, even as a scientist, you can't accept that. It's so critical to the way we function on all sorts of different levels. The difference between science that you can repeat in a lab and use to build technology, which Ken kept emphasizing, this idea that somehow Christians can't get flu vaccines because they don't believe in evolution. You know, I think that you should walk away with an impression that we're dealing with two different ways of using the tools of science rather than a debate between science and theology.
What about the point that was not only made by Bill Nye in this debate, but it has been made elsewhere by him in other media venues, that he fears for the future of maybe the Western world or the United States in particular because of a generation of kids who don't understand where all this came from, who actually believe some version of a divine creation? What about that concern expressed by Nye?
Well, I have an easy answer to that. Look back historically at the data. When did an interest in science and mathematics and engineering begin declining in the United States? And I think it's pretty easy to see that that decline began when there was a declining interest in Christianity. They match. There's a correlation there. In fact, I would argue, if I could get Bill Nye in a room, that the opposite is happening, that as we are losing our faith as a country, we are losing our interest in going into science and mathematics and engineering. Because as much as Bill Nye and Richard Dawkins is the same, they both say, oh, look at this fantastic world out there. We should be studying it for its own sake. Ken Ham very quickly came back and said, but why? Why bother? And that's what we're seeing with kids today. I mean, I was a youth pastor. A lot of our Christian teens, non-Christian friends, wanted to go into finance because that's where the money is. And if this life is all there is, you want to make as much money as you can to have the best life that you can now, rather than striving for something that is for the betterment of the human race and to the glory of God. So I would say Bill has misread the data, and in fact the data is pointing in the opposite direction. And the same is going to happen with other countries in the world where there's a loss of interest in the reason for us being humans and the reason for life being grounded in a deity or in God. Once people realize that they can make more money doing something else other than science, their advancements in science are going to decline as well.
What do you make of the reaction that it has not been uniform, but it has been pretty prominent? On the one side, fellow scientists saying that Bill Nye really didn't represent them very well. And on the other side, Christians a little embarrassed that a creationist was speaking for them because they've fallen prey to doubts regarding a divine creation.
Well, and that goes back to sort of what we began talking about at the very beginning, right? This idea that there are lots of nuances in worldview. I mean, I have friends who are Christians, very well educated, who certainly felt that way. They were very embarrassed that Ken was representing them. I find it funny that whenever a naturalistic, you know, metaphysical point of view is being debated with a creationist, people always feel bad afterwards. They feel like their point of view was not really represented from a naturalist and evolutionist point of view. Well, if it's such a slam dunk scientifically, how can it be that in debate after debate after debate, they can't make the point? They can't close the sale. There's only one reason for that, and that is that it's just not settled science in the way that, for example, gravity or general relativity are. We can close the deal on those, I can, as a scientist, pretty quickly. But evolution, it's really difficult to make the case for it. There's too many open ends and loose kind of loose threads that haven't been tied up yet. And so this sort of thing is going to keep happening, and that's why a lot of people, like Richard Dawkins, say never debate a creationist, because they know they can't close the sale. They just can't. The information's not there.
Is there a point that Ken Ham may have made or not made forcefully well enough in your mind after viewing the debate?
Well, I want to say, first of all, that, you know, I wasn't standing there up on the stage, and I know how difficult that is. And my guess is that anything that I say, Ken Ham is probably saying the same thing. Like, oh, I wish that I'd said this or that. Certainly, I wish that he'd sort of shut down this line of argumentation that this was a unique, aberrant interpretation of Christianity that, you know, Ken Ham thought up based on a misreading of a text and a translation of it. That's just not the case. For centuries, his interpretation of Genesis and our church body's interpretation of Genesis has been the prevailing and the only interpretation of Genesis, because it's the one that's most obvious. So, I sort of wish that he'd simply come up and said, you know, I may not be able to read Hebrew, but I know a lot of people that do. And this is not an interpretation of an English writing. This is what we're reading in the original text.
Someone, a non-Christian who may view that debate, what do you think the reaction would be? What should we hope the reaction would be?
I hope their reaction is, maybe I should step back for a minute and ask myself, what assumptions have I made without ever really evaluating them? If I say I don't need a God because I can explain the entire universe based on the laws of nature, where did the laws of nature come from? Why are there laws of nature? We never stop to ask ourselves that question. And people that have been asked that question and pushed on that have always come back with comments like, I think it was, I don't know if I'll mispronounce his name, Dr. Alan Guth, who said, well, we just have to assume those things. What's wrong with that? Well, Christians assume the existence of a God. What's wrong with that? If you're going to be allowed to make any unwarranted assumption you want, what's wrong with our assumption? So that's what I would really hope that they would take away from it. And I also hope, secondly, that it would give them and give us an opportunity to witness from the scriptures. Ken Ham did that a lot. He may not, you know, openly confess the small catechism of Martin Luther, but he does understand the third article, where Luther wrote, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. Only the Holy Spirit can do that through the calling of the gospel. And that's why Ken made sure, as many times as he could, to slip in the gospel and to slip in the word of God, because that is what will bring people to faith. Don't think you can show this to your non-Christian friends and they're going to walk away and say, now I believe in creation and now I'm a Christian, because it's entirely possible that you'll believe in intelligent design or creationism and not be a Christian. You need the word of God and the Holy Spirit's work through that word to accomplish that.
Charles St. Ange is deployed with the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod in Asia. He has a bachelor's degree of applied science and engineering, a master's degree of science, and he is doing doctoral work on science and theology with South Africa Theological Seminary. He's author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can check out this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Love the Bible and Appreciate Science by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Charles, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Pastor Wilkin.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Tom Baker about Onesimus and Philemon. That's the two men who kind of, along with St. Paul, are the subject of that very small New Testament book, Philemon, dealing not only with slavery, we'll also talk about its connection to the Beatitudes. We'll discuss God's calling for children, vocation for children. Mary Murby will be our guest, and we will chat with Bishop John Shelby Spong about his view of the Gospel of John. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.